All right, good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to see you all here tonight on this Sunday night. We're all spread out a little bit. Got some elbow room, so, you know, if you want, you can feel free to, like, move up a little bit, find a new chair that maybe is open for the first time ever, because the usual players aren't there to try out that comfy new spot. So if you want, give it a shot and sit, or just stay in the same seat you've been sitting in for, you know, the last 10 minutes or so. I'm good. Hey, it's good to be here. Thank you to Dave and the others for this opportunity to be here today. Father's Day. No one told me when I was going to be a dad just how many reminders you're going to have to give as a dad. You know, remember to put on your shoes. Church is at 6 o'clock. Remember to get dressed. I don't let you wear shorts to church. Gotta put on those pants. Still need you to put on those shoes. Remember, church is at 6 o'clock. A lot of reminders that come from being a dad. So tonight's message, nothing groundbreaking in tonight's message. Tonight's message is simply just a reminder. And Nicole will know this now that we're where we are at Sweetwater doing what we do. Our job at Sweetwater is really to remind people. Right? Like, I'll say, remember, let this person know that. So, like, we're in reminder mode all the time. So tonight's message is totally going to be a big reminder, but I think we need that sometimes. And we were talking to the high school class this morning, and the whole book of 2 Peter is a reminder. And so God even gives us reminders, so thank you, God, for reminders. Okay, got to get in my dad joke for the day. Everyone else did too. A preacher, a priest, and a rabbit went to Red Cross to donate some blood. And so as they went to donate blood, the person taking their, starting to write down their sheet said, "Hey, preacher, what's your type?" And he says, "I'm blood type A." And then he goes to the priest, he goes, "Hey, priest, what's your type?" And he goes, "I'm type B." They go to the rabbit, they go, "What's your type?" And he says, "I think I might be a type A." That's a good joke, because it took a second to figure out what that was. Okay, tonight's message, I mentioned, was going to be a complete reminder, and there's just really some things that I think God has called us to be ready to do. So tonight's message is just be ready. And I'm going to look at a couple examples of interesting happenings that happened in the Bible where God asked something of his people and they responded. Sometimes he asked something unique. And we're going to find some of that. The reason I think that God calls us to do interesting things and that God calls us to be different in this world. Does anybody know what the common cause of death for whales are? Think about it. That's drowning. Whales live in the ocean. They swim. They're in the water the whole time. They live in this environment that their surroundings are completely toxic to them in the long run. If they breathe in the water, they die. And that is a great analogy for us as Christians too. We're here in this world, but this world is poison. This world is not for us. And so there's some things that we have to be ready for, because we need to get up above those at times and get the air that God gives us, the breath of life. We need to take in that breath that only God can provide. But too often we're trying to breathe in the poison of the air. And so tonight, we just want to make sure that we're ready in the way that God wants us to be ready. Let's start by going to the God in the Word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, to say thank you for your many blessings. And we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, we just ask that in all things that are done tonight, we can glorify you. Lord, we just pray for our church family who's down at CC YC tonight. And Lord, we just ask that you give them a great week, a safe week, good weather, help them to have a good time, help them to learn a lot, help them to grow in their faith and make new friends. And Lord, we just ask that they can also glorify you. Lord, we just ask that, Lord, you continue to work through this church. Help us to be ready to defend your gospel and to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the first thing that I want us to look at tonight is to be ready to move quickly. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. An interesting thing happens here as the Israelites are getting ready to depart from Egypt. As part of that, they're setting up their Passover feast, and God says, asks something interesting of the Israelites in this section. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a land for themselves, according to the father's households, a land for each house. Now if a household is too small for a land, then he and his neighbor nearest his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, in proportion to what each one should eat. You are to divide the land. Your land shall be unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roast in the fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roast it with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning, you shall completely burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this way, with your garment belted around your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and fatally strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the human firstborn to animals, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." So we see something interesting here. We recall the Passover, right? Always putting the blood on the doorpost, and that's part of it. But here God is reminding the Israelites, hey, you're getting ready to get out of this place. The place has not been too kind to you. Slavery, 400 years, the whips, the hard work, the extra work that got put on them as part of the plagues that preceded this, and Moses talking to Pharaoh that got piled on them that they weren't given the straw to make bricks any longer. They were living in a harsh, harsh environment, and it was time to go. And so as they're eating here, God says, "I want you not just to sit down and have a really nice final dinner here in Egypt. Instead, it's like, well, we're going to eat, and I need you to eat quick. We've got somewhere to get to. Put on your belt, put on your sandals, and eat it in a hurry." That's another thing that I can feed a dad is, you know, come on, guys, we've got to eat. We've got somewhere to be, right? God is it calling us in that same way. We've got somewhere to be. And so are we ready? Are we putting ourselves in a place that we are ready to move quickly for God? God's going to move. We've got to move quickly too. We've got to get our things ready in order. If you go back one chapter here in Exodus 11, 1 through 3, they didn't just also prepare their meal quickly and eat quickly, but they also got all the provisions they could need. And in Exodus 11, 1 through 3, it says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and after that he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will assuredly drive you out from here completely. Speak now so that the people hear, that each man is asked of his neighbor, and each woman of her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave people favor in the sight of the Egyptians.'" In this case, the Israelites were to go basically loot Egypt. They go and say, "Hey, can you give us gold? Can you give us your good things, your nice things?" And they're ready to get out of Egypt. They got their things in order that God asked them to get order because they had somewhere to be. Egypt was no longer a place to be. They'd been there far too long, and they had a job to do, and it was time to get out. So the moral of this story, when God moves, you better be ready to move too. He wants us to move quickly alongside him. It also came to pass in the same way for Peter in Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. So Peter was kept in the prison. The prayer for him was being made to God intensely by the church. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near Peter, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Put on your belt and strap on your sandals." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And he did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and yet he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Now when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angels and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all of the Jewish people were expecting." So we see here again, God calling someone to move quickly. Peter was in prison. That's not where Peter was meant to be. Peter had a job to do. He had gospel to preach to the early church. He had Christians to be made, souls to be won. Prison was not the place for him, and God brought him out of there. When it was time for exit, he needed Peter to move quickly. So Peter did that. When God has a mission for us, we can no longer say, "Yeah, give me a second, let me think about it." No, it is time to put on your belt, put on your sandals, and get moving for the sake of God. He has a plan for you. He's got a mission for you. Go attack that mission. The second reminder here tonight that we need to be ready to do is we need to be ready to defend bravery. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 12 through 20, we see here the Israelites, as they're rebuilding the wall, were called to defend bravery. Nehemiah 4, 12 through 20. "When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, 'They will come up against us from every place where you may turn,' then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space upon the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. And when I saw their fear, I stood and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses.' Now when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. And from that day on, half of my servants carried on the word, while half of them kept hold of the spears, the shields, the bows, and the coats of mail, and the captains were behind all the house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall, and those who carried burdens, carried with one hand doing the work, and the other keeping hold of the weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword strapped in his waist as he built, while the trumpeters stood near me. And I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'The work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, assemble to us there. Our God will fight for us.'" We're here again in a hostile world, a world that doesn't care about your Christianity. It doesn't care that you're here at church on Sunday. It doesn't care about your goodness. It doesn't care about your good deeds. It opposes them at every side. It thinks they're useless. It thinks you're stupid for being here. We have to be ready to defend bravely at all times. Christians, are we carrying our weapons with us at all times? Are we arming ourselves not with the physical arms of this world, but with the spiritual arms and the spiritual warfare that we're participating in? Are we ready to defend the Word of God? Do we know the Word of God? Do we have it handy? Do we keep it nearby? Are we keeping in tune with it? We must have our weapons on us at all times, even when we're building, even when we're at play. Just like the folks in Nehemiah's day, they were building the wall, but they had to also be ready to jump into action at a moment's notice. The enemy was near. The enemy was always near. And so they had to have their weapons on themselves at all times. 1 Peter puts it this way in chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And it says this, "And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be in dread. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. And keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who disparage your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong." Peter calls us here to be ready to make a defense. He acknowledges that we're going to be slandered, that we're going to be made fun of, that we're going to be challenged. But we need to, above all, be ready, being ready to make that defense with gentleness and respect. So we must defend the word. We must also be ready to bravely defend ourselves from Satan's attacks. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." We talk about being ready to move quickly because God has plans for you, but did you know Satan has plans for you too? Satan has a plan for you. He wants to use you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to take you away from the love of Christ. Some versions here say the wiles of the devil, which always kind of, I always wondered, you know, that's a fun little word to consider. So I decided, being a, you know, kind of a tech guy, I went and asked AI, "Hey, tell me about the wiles of the devil. What do you think?" And it said this: "The phrase wiles of the devil refers to the cunning and deceptive tactics that the devil or Satan uses to tempt, deceive, and ultimately harm individuals, especially Christians, according to religious texts. Those wiles involve various strategies aimed at leading people away from God and into sin. Here's a breakdown of what the wiles of the devil entail: presenting sin attractively, exaggerating the pleasures of sin, using false teachings, exploiting your emotions and moods, creating confusion and doubt, and bringing accusation and discouragement." I think I got it pretty right. Well done, Google AI mode. Sometimes those AI modes are scary, sometimes they get it very wrong. But in this case, it got it completely right. Here we see that Satan is going to use a variety of tactics. And he knows what your weaknesses are. You know, some of us are susceptible to being made fun of. Some of us are susceptible to our moods. Some of us are susceptible to being easily discouraged. What's your weakness? What do you need help covering? Where can a brother or sister here in the faith help you in that regard? If you're discouraged, find someone who can encourage you. If you're having a bad day, reach out to someone who can pick you up. And in what way are you being available to someone who is also in need? We must always be ready to defend ourselves against Satan. We must be ready to defend bravely. The other thing that we must be ready to do is answer the call. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we see several men who were ready to answer the call when Jesus rang. Matthew 4, 18 through 22 says this: "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." These guys immediately answered the call when Jesus rang. Unfortunately, not everyone is going to be ready to answer that call. Luke 9, 57 through 62 contrasts with Matthew 4 in this way. Luke 9, 57 says, "As they were going on the road, Someone said to him, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those in my home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus has put out a call for us. And which way are we going to respond? Are we going to respond, yeah, I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to give it all up right now. Or like, yeah, let me think about it for a little bit. Let me stew on this. I've got some other important things that I need to take care of. Those are good things to do, too. I got family. I've got sick ones at home. Those are all important things as well. But Jesus, when he puts out the call, we need to get on it. We need to follow him. We need to answer that call. Jesus needs us to answer that call. He is ready to send. He is ready to send us out in the world to fulfill the missions that he needs us to fill. At the beginning of Luke 9, we see that Jesus gathered the 12 together. In Luke 9, 1 through 6. Now he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and the power to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave the city. And it's for those who do not receive you, when you leave that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And as they were leaving, they began going through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Jesus needed them to get going, and what did they do? They got going. They were told to travel lightly, so not to be weighed down. We are called to travel lightly as well. God does not want us to be weighed down by the pleasures of this world. Don't carry too many clothes in this case. Don't carry too much money. Don't carry even too much food. God had a mission for them. They needed to get going on it, not just quickly, but they needed to be able to move and pivot. When we're carried, when we're weighted down by the burdens of our life, we cannot move in the way that God wants us to do. We cannot answer the call effectively for the sake of Christ. We must be ready to move in his way, the way that he wants us to go. So let's make sure that we're not weighing ourselves down. The last thing tonight that I want us to be ready to do is to return home. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 puts it this way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now as to the periods and times, brothers and sisters, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is coming just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, that they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night, nor of darkness. So then let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober. 1 Thessalonians, we are challenged here, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout, not just for the call from Christ, but in this case, for the finality of Christ, for the end, for our return to our glorious home within for eternity. We are not to be surprised when he comes. We know he's coming quickly. And so, as Christians, we have a job to do, to ready and prepare ourselves in every way possible to go home. In what way are we preparing ourselves to be able to get home? We must be ready to do that. God is the one to call us. In summary tonight, just a couple of reminders that we have tonight. God wants us to be ready to move quickly. God wants us to be ready to defend bravely. God wants us to be ready to answer his call. And God wants us to be ready to return home to him. All of these span up into he's got a mission for us. And let's be ready to fulfill his mission and be ready to defend. Tonight, if you're here and you're outside the cause of Christ, if you want to know your mission for his life, it's this. We want you to believe on him. Repent of your sins, confess that he is Lord and Savior of your life, and be baptized, washing away your sins, and then be faithful to him. Stay ready at all times for his great return so that we can go home and be with him. Will you stand with us, please? And then Isaac can lead us in the song of the Lord.